Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Jay Brooks, sports reporter.
I just thought it'd be cool to have you on here because you do some acting in productions, various films and TV shows around the area. I know John Aaron does the same.
Yes, he does. Sandy Kuzel also does a lot of this. We support each other in if we find something or if I hear something, I pass something to her or, you know, she points it out to me, you know, so it's she as well has gotten bit by the actor bug.
So I love to have you guys on and provide a little bit of a behind the scenes look at some shows whenever you do it. And coming up tonight on HBO is the brand new miniseries called We Own This City, based on a book by the same name by Baltimore Sun reporter Justin Fenton. Thanks so much for doing this, Jay Brooks. Thanks for coming on.
No problem, Jason. Good to see you and looking forward to this series coming out tonight. I won't be towards, I think, episode 4 I am in, so you're going to have to wait for the buildup to see yours truly or hear yours truly, because if you don't see me, I'm hoping that you will hear me, and I'll explain more of that in your next question.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. So yeah, like you mentioned, it's you're in episode 4, but it's 6 episodes, and unlike Netflix or whatever where they drop them all at once, it's going to be once a week on HBO, and so the premiere is on April 25th, and then it'll be every Monday after that all the way until I guess the final episode's on May 30th. I want to get to your little part in a minute, but yeah. Before let's set the stage here a little bit more. This thing is written and created by David Simon and George Pelicanos, local guys known for The Wire. When you saw those names attached to this, were you like, oh, my God, I got to be involved?
Exactly. I mean, I knew the history involved with The Wire, and I thought, you know what? They're bringing it back to the Baltimore area, and this is going to be really good. And then when I saw some of the names that were going to be in, the guy I had my scene with, John Berthal, who plays Sergeant Wayne Jenkins in this We Own This City, I was ecstatic. And it was a weird process where I did a Zoom audition in June, and then all of a sudden out of the blue in the middle of August, I get this email saying, you have been chosen, and the rest was history at that point.
Yeah, you mentioned John Berthal. He is, he actually just worked with the director, Ronaldo Marcus Green. We had the two of them on to discuss King Richard, which was, which has been all over the headlines with Will Smith at the Oscars and the slapping
exactly.
And everything.
Don't slap me, Jason.
But, yeah, I won't slap you here through the camera. Talk about what it was like working with Ronaldo Marcus Green. I don't know how much direction he actually gave you in your episode or whatever, but just in general, getting to observe him, like, did you pick up any cool things or just anything you can say generally about his skill?
You walk past him and you could kind of feel like this aura coming off of him. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, he basically kind of observed after the first couple of cuts just to see where things were going. And what he allowed us to all do was have some fun and kind of go, I don't want to say off script, but let's push it as far as we can. And so it was a hot prison cell. That's where the scene was. The character Wayne Jenkins and his fellow cops are in this cell. And I, dressed as the corrections director, come up to the cell and I basically have some small talk back and forth. And I'm kind of surprised that they're all in the same room together. And I kind of offer them and say, hey, would you all like to be in separate cells? To this, where Wayne Jenkins just says, my group are all together and we're staying here. And I sarcastically just say, well, not in here you are. More or less kind of exposing him like, look, you're not out on the streets anymore. You're in the cell. Right. And our confrontation was basically a back and forth between a metal screen with bars, and he's yelling at me and I'm taking everything he's throwing at me.
Awesome. So yeah. do you know, let's go in. I mean, we're diving into it. Let's dive into it more. Do you know, how much of, I guess not until you see the episode, are you're going to actually be featured? Like, does your line, does your face make the final cut?
It should, Jason. The first scene. We shot two different scenes, or two different shots, I should say, in this scene, where the camera is over my right shoulder facing John and the prisoners. And then we did the opposite and put the camera on the far side of the cell to where you would see me. And I'm assuming they might kind of blur me in that shot. So that's why I allude to, you may hear me more than see me, but the person that John is talking to is yours truly.
Now, when you're reading your script and you see that you deliver that line, and you know you only got a few seconds, a few minutes on screen, are you like, okay, how am I going to deliver this line? How do I make the most impact out of these words? You know, do you say not in here you don't, or not in here you don't? Like, what do I emphasize?
Well, let me back up a little bit. I have a 7:30 a.m. call time. I got a trailer for the first time in my acting career. I'm in a trailer and I'm like,
wow, congrats.
This is going to be great. I'll go shoot my scene at 8:00. I'll be out of here by 9:00. Well, I sit in my trailer for 4 hours going over my four lines.
Wow.
And I'm sweating because it's August 30th and it's hot out, even though the little air conditioner we have is kicking on and off. But till we finally got in and started things, I was looking for adrenaline. And when I walked into the scene, I wasn't really getting any direction about where I should do it. So I just kind of went off the cuff and played Mr. Sarcasm. And the reaction that I got from the prisoners and John, AKA Ween, was just like, wow, they really went at me. There is a funny scene in here where we did a take where I said those lines and Wayne Jenkins comes right up to the screen and he kicks it with his foot so hard that the door hits the bridge of his nose and blood actually starts to come down his nose. We didn't stop rolling. We kept going with it because it was a powerful scene. And he actually spit on me, like spit right in my face. And it was a professional spit, if I could explain. It wasn't like a loogie, he hocked one up and whatever. It was professionally done, but I didn't flinch. And I kept thinking to myself, if they're going to pick any kind of cut from what we just did, this is the one you want to keep, because the director just let us go. And it was a lot of fun. I'm sweating in there. People are yelling names at me and everything. And it was surreal to be in there with not only the director and all the people that were on the wire, the crew, some of the cast members. I just felt like I was, I don't know. I can't explain it. It was really cool. It just was really cool.
Wow. I love, thanks for sharing that story. I love when they keep rolling, when something like that happens, like, so when you see the blood on his nose, that's going to be real. What was it in Django Unchained when Leo DiCaprio smashes his hand on the glass, they just kept rolling with that blood, or in, in Apocalypse Now, Martin Sheen, like karate chops the mirror and bloodies himself. I like when they just use that in the actual movie. Cool. So let me back up a second and, remind me, just tell our listeners what the show is about. Like, if you can, I know we can't spoil plot points, but like in general, like, you know, if you were reading like a log line on IMDb or on, you know, when you turn on HBO, just general stuff we're allowed to say, like, what's it about?
Well, part of it was basically the Freddie Gray story. I believe it was 2015, where our own Mike Murillo was up in Baltimore covering the story and kind of the aftermath with the cops of how they were running the city. We own this city. The cops own this city, not you, the citizens or anybody else, but we, the cops. And the cops were basically able to flash their badge anywhere they wanted and get anything that they wanted to do. And this corruption built, and it came to, you know, a reporter who was trying to get a story. And the next thing you know, We Own the City came to be. So it was the perfect place. You know, The Wire based in the Baltimore area to begin with. So we're going back to Baltimore again. He feels comfortable with it. He pulls a topic that is like, you know, it went national, of course, and it just delves on how bad some of our men in blue can be once they get to be able to, like, you know, do a drug bust and they keep the drug money. Who's going to know? Who's going to ask the cops what happened to the money? You know, nobody's going to say anything. And they just build this kind of identity that they can get away with anything until they end up getting caught.
Right. Exactly. And you mentioned that it was some of the boys in blue, and I just wrapped an interview with the law enforcement museum today. So, but yeah, I'm sure there are cops on the up and up in this show too, but then also like we saw on The Wire, there's the crooked cops too. You got to show the full picture here. And all of us that saw we all remember where we were when we saw that footage happening of Freddie Gray's death, the suspicious circumstances in the back of that police vehicle. We were all horrified by it. I remember we covered it on WTOP. And so to have that as the backdrop of this series is going to be really powerful.
When the Freddie Gray situation happened, like I said, you know, Mike Morello's covering it. You know, there's an Orioles game that had no fans in the stadium, which was one of the weirdest things that, of course, I wasn't there. But to say, wow, there's no fans and all baseball players are playing on the field, a regular Major League Baseball game, mm-hmm. while outside the stadium, all of this mayhem is going on. I just thought it was a very surreal moment. And this was before all the fun of the elections and the pandemic, right. and everything else. It sort of was like a prelude or an appetizer of things to come that this country's experienced over the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it was like eerie foreshadowing of everything that was about to happen. Well, very cool. That's cool you're involved in this. And thanks for bringing it to the screen with all these guys. So did you mention that, you know, Ronaldo Marcus Green, the director, there was like an aura when he walked by. Did you actually get to see or meet David Simon?
No, I didn't. I did not see him there, but I became very good friends with John Berthal because he is actually childhood friends with our very own Frank Hanrahan of WTOP Sports.
Oh, really? Well, tell me how that worked. Wait, so did you know this? Did Frank cue you in going in so you could bring that up?
Yes. In fact, I was talking to Frank and I was just like, hey, I said, you know, I'm doing this. This flick up in Baltimore. And the next thing you know, he goes, hey, I grew up playing basketball with him. And I was like, really?
Where at? Do you know? Like AAU or what?
I can't remember where, but I think Frank's a little bit older than John. And they were all amazed at Frank's basketball 3-point shots. That was like this, oh, Frank Hanrahan, he's on the court, you know. So it was really cool that after we were done and we did our scene and John and I were walking out and I kept looking for this moment. Where can I bring up Frank? And as we're walking out, I was just like, hey, I just want to let you know, I work with a friend of yours, Frank Hanrahan. And he was just like, Frank Hanrahan. Oh man, he is just like a god on the basketball court. And I thought to myself, cool. At least, you know, I'm not like this fanboy coming up and like, you know, Mr. Berthal, can I have your autograph? Right. You know, I was basically, you know, associated with somebody that he grew up with. And so it was cool. And he's such a down to earth guy, John Berthal. He, before the scene, he was very approachable, very comfortable with his lines, had everything spot on. Great actor. I mean, just a great actor. And then at the end of the scene, to be able to kind of just, I don't want to say turn it off, but to just come back down and be a regular guy.
Yeah.
You want that in everybody you meet. You know, you want everybody to kind of be that cool off the air or off screen as they are when they are on. And he fit the bill 100%.
So basically what you're saying is that John Berthal slammed the door in his face, but Frank Hanrahan was shooting trays in his face on the court.
Frank's the star, okay?
You should have yelled that at, if you're really trying to scare him in the scene when he spit on you, you should have said that. What about Frank? And he would have, that would have.
Frank Hanrahan wouldn't do that.
Frank Hanrahan wouldn't spit like that. He could spit nothing but net from farther than you, sir. Oh, that's fantastic. Maybe John Berthal will remember you. You know,
well, I'll always remember him because I have his DNA splashed all over my face, which he actually reached out to Frank and apologized for that and said that your friend was really cool and like rolling with things. And I just wanted to apologize. I was just going with the scene. And I just was like, that was really cool because he didn't have to do that. So he knew he probably crossed the line in a way. But I, knowing what was needed, I just went with it. He was just going with the flow. And I just was just kind of like, cool, this might be the shot that they're looking for. You know, you kind of pick up the nuances of what they want. So
Right.
So, yeah, it's been great.
Well, cool. What else? I'm trying to think before we run. What else should we talk about? What else do you want to? Yeah, I guess remind our listeners about just your acting. You know, I don't want to call it a side hustle. Your dual career and passion here with, you know, doing sports on the radio and then also, you know, getting these acting gigs. Like, when did you start doing, you know, cameos and extra work and actual acting?
All started in elementary school, of course, doing the plays that we did. Not much in high school, Jason. But then once I got out and I started my radio career, I did some dinner theater where I played, you know, Vince from Greece, Vince Fontaine from the from Greece, and did some singing, did some dancing. And then a few years went by, I ended up at WTOP where I joined SAG-AFTRA. And I started getting all these emails and I was like, wow, I could go be on Veep, which I was. I could be on House of Cards, which I was. I was in Oprah Winfrey's movie up in Baltimore, you know, Henrietta Lacks. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. I get a chance to make some money, rub some elbows with some pretty cool people. And it's not really heavy lifting. It's a lot of fun. So what I was able to do was when I wasn't working at WTOP and I had an opportunity to work at any of the feature films going on around here, whether it be Wonder Woman 2 or anything else, I would try to get a day or 2 days. For Wonder Woman 2, I did 12 days as they were here in the middle of the summer, and with George Wallace being very helpful in rearranging my schedule so that I could do the acting stuff and give up a couple of sports shifts. And, you know, the next thing you know, the pandemic hits, and it kind of changed a lot of things with just being on set. You have to be tested. You have to wear a mask, take the mask off, makeup real quick, get in there, shoot the scene. And then all these little things have kind of added into it to make it very difficult. But I think the industry now is starting to kind of adapt some of those changes in a positive way. And you can see that in all the stuff that's coming out recently. So for somebody to just kind of back into acting and got an opportunity and did this and did that, it has been a blast. And I can't tell you that without WTOP being a union shop, and me being allowed to join SAG-AFTRA because of that, I'm not talking to you today about that, the marvelous stuff I've been able to do over the last, it'll be 9 years later this month that I'm at WTOP.
Wow, almost coming up on your 10th anniversary soon.
I'm telling you, next April 28th, I think, is my anniversary date. So so that's kind of the story of how I did it. And you know, you can do it if you're non-union, if you get the opportunity. You know, there's different changes, of course. Not everybody's interested in them. You get paid more for your union and you get a lot of other perks, but there's less jobs. Or you do non-union where you don't get as much money, but there is more opportunity to work. It's like whatever fits, if it's a side hustle, if it's your career move, if it's your dream, take it from me. If I can do it, Jason, anybody can do it. And I mean that in a good way, because follow your dreams. The worst thing in life is to look back with regret on something that you could have done if you'd have only tried it.
That's such really sound advice. And just so I have all the I's dotted and T's crossed for when I do the article, yeah. When you were saying that you started acting in school growing up, where did you actually grow up? What town?
I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
And Amish country.
I went to Our Mother of Perpetual Help Elementary School.
Okay.
We did Fiddler on the Roof. We did Oliver. Those are the two the two big ones that we did my 7th and 8th grade seasons. And then the dinner theater was Dutch Apple Dinner Theater in Centerville, Pennsylvania, for Grease. And then again, the first thing I did, once I got in at TOP, was I was a stand-in for the press secretary in Veep. And I thought, wow, my first day and I'm already a stand-in. And, you know, people were telling me that was a great thing. And the great thing about it was that I was able to get more work because they weren't seeing me, so that they could work me more. And I was like, great, I'm getting paid, but I'm not getting seen. But that quickly turned into, hey, I want to be seen and heard. And that just kind of happened. So throughout these 9 years of acting, I've gotten a chance to do really everything from background. I've done lead. I've done supporting. This was a principal role. Got the trailer, you know, the whole nine yards. Yeah. It truly has been interesting, an interesting ride. And again, I can't thank anybody but Hubbard Radio and WTOP.
Awesome. And real quick, who are you in, just so I can fill in the gap there? Who are you in House of Cards? What was your part?
I did a bunch. I did stand in and background. Those were my two in House of Cards. So if I was standing, of course, you're not seeing me. And background, you might have seen me in a scrum where Francis is out in quote unquote Iowa. Right. When we were out in the suburbs of Maryland, and in Veep, the same thing. I did the stand-in, and then I did a lot of background when Julia Louis-Dreyfus was being introduced. Madam Secretary, President of the United States, she comes down, she's shaking hands and everything, and I got a chance to grab her hands in three straight cuts. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm holding Julia Louis-Dreyfus's hands. I can't believe this. And it was great. So it's like that early stuff had the big names and I wasn't getting a whole lot of notoriety, but as we start to move on now, things are starting to open up.
You got a trailer now, man. You got a
principal. I got a trailer. And I'll tell you what, that We Own the City trailer, if you haven't seen it yet, you probably have, Jason. That's pretty powerful. It's a very powerful trailer. You know, it's 2 minutes of like, wow, you know, a lot of shit going on. Excuse my French. It really will set you up for, I think you're going to enjoy all six of these episodes. And I think if you're from this area, you're going to be able to identify with a lot of the background scenes. And I think it's really going to hit home in a very meaningful way that you might be able to understand a little bit more about, Charm City.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Well, thanks for doing this. Is there anything you want to say before we run? I mean, I guess just speak directly to the listeners and say, you know, We Own the City is premiering tonight on HBO. Tune in. You're going to love it. You know, speak directly to them.
If you're looking for a lot of fun to do tonight and you're channel surfing, make sure that you check out HBO's We Own This City, where yours truly is making a cameo appearance. See if you can find me, or better yet, see if you can hear me.
Like you do on WTOP. Hey, thanks
like
for
you
doing
it on WTOP.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Good connecting with you, Jason. Thanks again, and take care of yourself. All right.
All right. Later, buddy.